Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 55. My name is John Morgan. Back home this week in Las Vegas, Nevada. Sad to say, my man Cole Coffey is not with me right now. Cole Coffey got a little bit of bad news. Just going to throw it out there right on the table without getting too personal because it literally just happened. My man Cole Coffey was heading on his way over here to sit down and tape the podcast as we do each and every Thursday night, no matter where we are in the world. And I got a little bit of bad news and obviously had to go tend to that. So just sending out my thoughts to the man. If you're hearing this right away, go ahead. Feel free to press pause or just let it play on in the background and hit the man up on Twitter at Ken S. Hathaway or at The Cold Coffee. That is T-H-E-E, Cold Coffee. You can hit him up on Instagram at 1K Hathaway. You can hit him up on Facebook. You can hit him up if you know his phone number. You can hit him up with email. Whatever you want to do, just send your thoughts because my man Cole Coffey is a huge part of this show, of course. I'm sad to say he is not able to take part right now. I'm sad to say that because it's got some sad news for him. I'm also sad to say because I found out while we were in Croatia that Cole Coffey at one time had a job as a door-to-door meat distributor. Now, maybe it's just because we'd had a few frosty beverages at the time, but I just found that so hilarious that the man used to just walk around town, knock on somebody's door, a housewife comes to the door, and he just have to say, "Ma'am, could I show you my meat? Would you be interested in a little bit of this sausage?" Oh, there were just so many jokes to be had. And I was ready to roll them all out in front of Cole Coffey, and I can't do it now because he's not here. So I'm going to save that one for a later date. Cole Coffey, door-to-door meat distributor. You don't know what meat tastes like till you've had my meat in your mouth. That's all I'm saying. Listen, we did make it back from Croatia. Cole Coffey and I ran into a little bit of a travel delay on the way home, a bizarre situation in London Heathrow, where a passenger on the plane was complaining that their legs were in such pain that they couldn't bend them, and so there was no way for them to sit on the plane for 10 hours, and it was literally the row right in front of me, and it was one of the most bizarre situations I've ever been in my life because, I'll be honest, it looked like the guy was kind of acting. It looked like the guy was kind of acting and maybe, like, angling for a business class seat or, you know, trying to get an upgrade or something. And it took forever. It took forever to finally work it out. The folks at British Airways were being super nice and trying to work everything out, but there really was just no figuring out. But I feel bad because if he wasn't acting, this dude was in the worst pain of anybody I've ever seen in my life. It was like his legs were on fire. Like, the slightest touch of them just caused him to, like, wince up in pain. I don't know exactly, you know, what kind of, you know, situation would cause that. And you don't want to doubt somebody and then find out you're just a jerk for thinking the guy's faking it. But it was weird, man. And eventually, ended up just escorting the guy off the plane, just saying, "Hey, this is probably going to be too much for you. I'm afraid you can't, you know, you're not going to be able to do this, and so let's just get you off." And the guy said, "All right." So, I mean, if he was trying to get an upgrade, that's a hell of a risk-reward situation. Like, either I get business or I get kicked off the plane. And so the guy got off the plane, and then they had to find his bags that he had checked in, and so that took a long time. And we already had, like, an hour mechanical delay to begin with, and that just added to it. And so we ended up missing our flight home. I should have been home on Tuesday night. Didn't actually get home until Wednesday morning, but had a great time in Croatia. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that the content that we brought to you from down there. Of course, the post-fight show, the half episode, the bonus episode, if you will, was a lot of fun. And Derek Lewis is just a star, man. I will make no bones about it, man. I like the guy's fighting style, and I like his attitude, and it was funny for him to on his free time, just sit down and have a few minutes with us. That was fantastic. If you didn't catch that, it's worth it. There's a hell of a lot of MMA this weekend, but it was fun to wrap up that event. If nothing else, just fast forward to the end and listen to Derek Lewis. He's probably the best part of it anyway. As far as this week goes, a lot of MMA is happening. I am not attending any of it. Neither is Cold Coffee. We're staying home in Las Vegas, but that doesn't mean that the junkie team is not out and about. We'll get to some of that in a second. The big news, Lyoto Machida, not testing positive. Let's clear that up right now. Lyoto Machida has not tested positive for any banned substance as of yet. We're waiting on the results of that test, but it really doesn't matter. He admitted to taking a banned substance, and it came from a over-the-counter substance, something that you can go pick up at GNC. I mean, it's perfectly legal. But just because it's perfectly legal in the United States does not mean that it's not banned by the World Anti-Doping Agency and therefore the United States Anti-Doping Agency because they follow WADA protocol. I'm bummed. I can't lie. I'm bummed about it, man. I mean, this is Lyoto Machida. I mean, this is, you know, the more traditional martial artist. This is just the character and principle that he's always shown. You'd like to think that he wasn't somebody that would essentially cheat. Now, it's difficult to argue whether or not he cheated or whether or not he was caught up and made a mistake. According to him, USADA officials came to do a test, and he disclosed what he's taking. And this is similar to the Mirko Krokop situation. You remember, Mirko Krokop disclosed that he had taken HGH. Now, HGH is extremely tough to test for, and so his test came back negative. But because he admitted that he took the HGH, the human growth hormone, he was still suspended for 2 years, and because he was suspended, he ultimately retired. I mean, it's weird because I'm not encouraging people to lie. You definitely don't want to lie, but I think you should be honest, and maybe they'll show some leniency. USADA will in this particular situation because they said that Lyoto has been extremely forthcoming, extremely honest, extremely open about everything. But the thing is, it doesn't matter. You still took something that is illegal, and I like to give somebody the benefit of the doubt. I had a gentleman hit me up on Twitter and just said, "Do you really believe for 1 second that Lyoto didn't know what he was putting into his body?" And I do kind of. I do kind of. I guess it's just maybe me as a human being, who I am as a person. I like to give people the benefit of the doubt and say that maybe he didn't know this substance was illegal. But it took me 2 seconds to look in the WADA banned list app that I have on my iPhone. 2 seconds to do a search on the substance. DHEA is the acronym for it. I won't even pretend to try and say the scientific name of it, but it comes up right away, and I posted this on Twitter. Like, you see right away, it says banned in and out of competition. No ifs, ands, buts about it. Banned in competition. And if you're an athlete, especially an athlete that's going through these tests, wouldn't you make damn sure you're checking every single thing that you're putting in your body? Everything. Search it. Check the active ingredient. If I can find it in 2 seconds, so can you. I'd like to think Lyoto Machida wasn't cheating. I'd like to think he wasn't. But I don't know. I can't be certain. He's 37 years old. Be 38 here very soon. Here in about a month. And it's hard. It is hard to compete at the highest level of the UFC at any age, much less at age 37, 38. And I see why you might be willing to take a chance to get something that you think, well, it's legal. I can buy it in a grocery store or a health supplement store. So it's not like I'm, you know, shooting up some kind of illegal steroids I had to fly in from Eastern Russia or whatever. I don't know. But I'm bummed. And, you know, Lyoto did say that this was something that had just been recently banned. It hasn't. It's been banned for a long time. So, bummed. Still will have the utmost respect for Lyoto Machida as a fighter and as a human being. And like I said, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt until all the facts are known. And I encourage everybody to do the exact same. But doesn't look good, man. Doesn't look good. If it didn't take me that long to figure it out, it shouldn't take you that long to figure it out. And athletes, man. Anybody that's listening to this, anybody that knows an athlete that's listening to this, get the list. Man, there's an app. There's an online spreadsheet you can look at. But you can literally just type in every ingredient right there into your phone and find out if it's banned or not. There's no excuse not to have it. So, Listen, this caused a big shakeup at UFC on Fox 19. Of course, Lyoto Machida was supposed to fight Dan Henderson. It does look like, according to our own Stephen Morocco, who was able to verify an earlier Sherdog report, that Dan Henderson is going to step in and fight at UFC 199. Dan Henderson, of course, was supposed to fight Lyoto Machida at UFC on Fox 19. He loses the fight. Looks like that'll be pushed back a couple of months, and he'll fight at UFC 199 instead. Maybe a better matchup. Maybe a better matchup here. I don't think that everybody was clamoring for this rematch with Lyoto Machida. So Dan Henderson versus Hector Lombard is what we get instead at UFC 199. Which, by the way, that UFC 199 lineup is starting to look sneaky, sneaky, sneaky good. So maybe it's a blessing in disguise. Although I hate this Machida suspension, but it was a huge change to UFC on Fox 19. That card has just been crushed by injuries and other issues. It looked like it was supposed to be a pretty stacked lineup when we started out. Now, still good, but not great. Still a fun night, but not great. So I figured, since my man Cole Coffey is not here, let's get our man Matt Erickson on the phone. Matt Erickson is down in Tampa, Florida. Of course, he spent the entire week going to Pearl Jam concerts. And that's why he ended up down there. I didn't even get asked. Nobody even ever asked me if I wanted to go to this card. Nobody ever even asked, John, do you want to cover this event? They snatched it up from underneath me. Matt Erickson, he was sneaky. He was sneaky smart, man. He knew he wanted to go to those Pearl Jam concerts. So he's a Pearl Jam super fan. So he's been down there watching Pearl Jam concerts on the Florida Swing all week long. And now today he's shifting his attention over to UFC Fox 19. So since my man Cole Coffey isn't here, I figure let's get my man Matt Erickson on the phone and hear what he has to say about UFC on Fox 19. Well, Matt Erickson coming to us from Tampa, Florida, I believe is where you guys are at. And, of course, I basically laid it out. I'm pretty sure the only reason you took this event, because nobody ever even asked me if I wanted to go. Nobody even bothered. It's just because you wanted to go on the Pearl Jam tour.
So here's how this all works. I was coming down here for Pearl Jam no matter what. And then after I had already booked all my tickets and all that stuff, then the UFC added the show. So it was like, how insane is that I can be in the Amalie Arena on Monday night watching my boys, and then 5 days later, I can go watch the fights and, like, you know, do my actual job.
That's
kind of cool. It worked out.
That's insane. I didn't know that. I thought the event came first, and then you're like, well, I can use that as an excuse to go see Pearl Jam, but it was the other way around.
No, it worked out perfectly, actually. And I mean, the only thing that would have been slightly different is that I had, in January, booked a rental car to get in Fort Lauderdale and do the Fort Lauderdale-Miami shows. Drive to Tampa, drive to Jacksonville, and then in theory I would have been driving up to like Greenville, South Carolina, and Raleigh, and Hampton Roads, Virginia, and places like that at the end of the week and next week. But then when this event wound up here, I was like, well, I'll just stick around, and everybody kind of wins.
That's nuts. How many times have you seen Pearl Jam in your life?
Okay, so this is where it gets a little complicated. And like, Carrie yells at me, and she's like, you can't tell people you've only seen them 18 times because you sound like an asshole. But it's true. I really do look at it that way, because the first two times I saw them was in 1992. I saw them in Soldier Field in 1995, and then I went 14 years without seeing them again. It's not because I wasn't a fan or wasn't still into them at all. It's just every time they would come around, I'd be someplace else. So like 2006, they rolled through the Midwest, and Carrie and I are in Maui. So who is going to be like, oh, poor Matt, he can't see Pearl Jam because he's in Maui. What an asshole. You know, so nobody really is feeling sorry for me, but I wasn't at a point in my life, you know, where I could just say, you know what, if I want to go watch this band, you know, in Boston or Los Angeles or Memphis or wherever the hell I'm going to go, I'm just going to go do it. It didn't work out that way for me, because I had a real newspaper job and you know, had to show up and be in the office. And now working from home, doing the junkie thing, it makes it a little bit easier. So if I want to go all across the country, and I can work it out where I can work during the day and see them play at night, you know, it's open for me to do it, as long as as long as Kerry agrees that I could do it. So, I've seen him 18 times. I'm going to see him another little bit less than 2 weeks in Kentucky. I'm going to try and see him in Madison Square Garden, and then that'll be it for me until August, and when I'll see him twice in Fenway Park and twice in Wrigley Field in Chicago. So,
that's
should get up
amazing.
To roughly 25 this year. But you know, like I'm hanging out with longtime other fan club members at these shows who have seen him 56 times, and here's this guy over here who is at his 150th show, and just,
wow.
You know, stuff like that. So it's one of those things where I've seen him a lot, but the last 3 years is when I've really picked it up. And had I been able to do it more often for the 14 years that I missed, I'd have a much higher count. So
that is incredible, man. That is incredible. Well, let's get down to the work stuff. Now that the fun's out of the way, UFC on Fox 19. What's the vibe like down there in Florida? I gotta wonder, because I mean, when this card was first announced, we were all pretty excited about it, and it's still got some decent fights on it. But I mean, just looking from afar, I've got to believe that the buzz has got to been killed a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. So we're standing in front of a backdrop today that, you know, still has, you know, the original Henderson and Machida fight on it, you know, the original co-main event. And obviously, they kind of too late to fix that. And, you know, when you have a fight like that drop out, what, you know, 4 days before the fight, what the heck are you going to do? You know, I mean, that literally dropped out yesterday. And even at the open workouts today, you know, we have a new co-main event with Tisha Torres and Rose Namajunas, and they're not there at the open workout and at the media day. When have you ever seen that from a co-main event? And the reason for that is because while we were finding out that Machida was out, Rose and Tisha were going all around Tampa yesterday for 9 hours doing TV and doing radio and going to this place and going to that place. They really put them through the paces yesterday. And they found out all this happened with Lyoto while they were doing that. And they said, we can't put these girls through this again tomorrow. Now tomorrow they got to cut weight. So here we have an event with no co-main event availability for us in the media. And it's just the whole thing, everything about this card has turned into just weirdness.
So bizarre. I was talking earlier. I mean, this USADA thing, it's not going away anytime soon. And we said it's going to get ugly before it gets better. But does Lyoto hurt you a little bit more? Because I got to say, this one, I don't know why, but in my heart, it hurts me a little bit more. Like, this is a guy I thought for sure I could point at and say he's clean.
Well, I mean, we've had other guys that you would think have been like that in the recent past, too. I mean, I would have never thought Anderson myself either. But I don't know. The guy drinks his own piss. It's weird. I mean, I'm not surprised at what anybody puts in their body more if you drink your own pee. So, it sucks. I mean, I guess good on him that he was apparently on the up and up with the whole thing and said, hey, this is what I did, but I didn't know it was a problem. And I mean, I saw some of the stuff you said on Twitter. It's obviously right there in black and white. So, these guys really need to learn to just, I don't know. What do? You got to hire somebody. You almost need to hire an attorney-level type person to just sign off on everything you put in your body to make sure that you're okay if you want to be successful in this sport. Because once you screw up, that's it. You're tainted for life in the court of public opinion in this sport. And you're also going to sit out and not make any money for 6, 9 months, a year, 2 years, you know, so.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. All right, tell me about Daryl Horcher. You got to meet him today. This dude is, all the balls in the world, man. Not too many dudes with their hands in the air saying, give me Khabib Nurmagomedov. You know you know the best way to get in the UFC is to take a short-notice fight and to take a bad situation. But, long shot for this kid. Could be a hell of a story. But what was your first impression?
Well, he seems like a cool dude. And, yeah, that's one of the things we talked to you about was, most guys get into the UFC by being kind of unknown, and where do they wind up? Well, they wind up on Fight Pass, right? So this guy takes a short notice fight, and he's going to fight the number two lightweight in the world. That's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
The guy's undefeated. I mean, maybe the only thing that Horcher has going for him is that he's fighting a guy who's been out for 2 years. So you know, I know anybody that's sat out for that long of a time are always the ones who say they don't believe in cage rest, but I'm a huge believer in cage rest, but I'm not going to pick Daryl Horcher to win the fight. but that said, this dude thinks he's going to win. So, you know, that's huge. He also has the benefit of a multi-fight contract, so he knows no matter what happens on Saturday night, if he gets starched in 20 seconds or if he, you know, goes three rounds and has a good showing, he knows he's coming back for another one. So I think it's pretty cool that he thinks he has a shot at it. And he seemed like a legit, you know, nice dude. And here's the fun thing. He thought that he was going to come to this open workout thing today and that all these fans were going to boo him.
Really?
He walked in thinking, yeah, everybody loves Khabib, so obviously they're going to hate me, so they're all just going to boo me. And he said he had been hearing about negative stuff on Twitter and social media directed toward him, kind of like, you know, hey, you know, you shouldn't get this fight. We don't want to see you, you know, you and nobody against, you know, an undefeated stud. We want to see an undefeated stud against Cowboy or Eddie Alvarez or whoever. So he said he'd been feeling a little hate. He just assumed that people would kind of give that to him today, but everybody dug him and applauded for him after his workout. That, he said, was a little bit unexpected. So good for him.
Yeah. Well, you know, you talked about the workouts. I did see a little bit of the footage you shot with Khabib Nurmagomedov. I mean, open workout footage with a training partner that's letting you do what you want to do can be a little deceiving, I guess, sometimes. But just in what you saw standing next to him and of course, listening to him talk afterwards and how fired up he was, is it just me? Or I mean, it looks like Khabib is in better shape than I've ever seen. I thought he looked fantastic.
Yeah, I don't think he's got a lot of weight to cut, which is smart on his part. That would be obviously a horrible thing to walk into coming back after 2 years and putting yourself through even extra stress for getting the weight off in the last couple of days. So I think he and whoever's helping him out with that kind of stuff made sure that he was going to be kind of dialed in. And he said he was working with a nutritionist for the first time as well. So he looks great. Says he's 100% healthy and believes that regardless of the kind of name opponent that's across from him on Saturday night, that, you know, as long as he wins this, he should be next in line for a title. So, you know, he obviously can't lose. He can't lose. But I don't know that a win makes him elevates his status necessarily, but as long as he doesn't lose, I think he just kind of holds his position, and maybe he's right. Maybe that is good enough to get a title shot.
It's so weird because in my head I think, yeah, I mean, it sucks that he's not fighting Eddie Alvarez or Cowboy or somebody like you said, but, I mean, if there's nobody else, I think it's got to be him unless it's Conor McGregor. But, that just seems ridiculous that now we're already doing an interim belt at 145. We got this thing at 170. I mean, does Rafael Dos Anjos have to wait and see what Conor wants to do before we figure out his next fight?
Sorry. I had a bunch of noisy people walk past me there. Tampa's crazy. What can I say? Go through that again for me, can you?
Yeah, no. I was just saying, you know, because, you know, it would seem that Khabib should be next. You know, it sucks that he's not fighting Eddie Alvarez or Cowboy or whatever. But, you know, the only thing I could think of for Rafael Dos Anjos next would be if that Conor McGregor fight comes back together. But, dude, I just feel like it's almost ridiculous that we have to wait until summertime to figure out if Conor wants to go back to 155, depending on the result of that. I mean, do we have to wait till 200 to figure out what's next for RDA? Or if Khabib wins, do you think he should be next?
Well, I kind of feel like Conor should have been next, but I kind of wanted them to just keep that story intact. You know what I mean? That was the fight that was booked. It sucks that RDA got hurt, but just because RDA got hurt, why should that mean that we're just going to abandon that story? I hate calling it story. It makes it sound like we're talking about like the WWE or something like that. But I mean, that's part of what the UFC is trying to do here. You know, they want to get somebody, you want to get fans invested in what might happen if this guy does this against this other guy. And we were invested in the thought of Conor having two titles. That was interesting. Nobody's done it before at the same time. I think everybody wanted to see if that could be done and see if he could keep on a roll. So why should he not get that shot just because RDA got hurt and just because he, you know, got the poop knocked out of him and choked out of him by Nate? You know, I don't think that necessarily means we should have to abandon it. But, UFC 200 messes everything up. Wanting that rematch at welterweight messes everything up. So, it is a little bit messy, but at least there are names out there that no matter who you throw in there, if Khabib gets thrown in there, we know he's not unworthy of it.
That's true. All right, let's talk quickly about the main event. I know you got to get back to work, but quickly about the main event. Kind of a I don't want to say a weird one, but definitely not what we were expecting coming in. But Rashad Evans, Glover Teixeira. Glover Teixeira is the favorite, and I guess probably understandably so. I actually went with Rashad Evans in my staff picks, but I'm a little bit curious. You know, speed is his game. He's 36 years old, edging up on 37. He's had some injuries. Man, you had a chance to size these guys up today. You know, what did you think before today, and what did you think after?
Well, I was going with Glover before today, and then it made me reconsider a little bit. I'm going to stick with him, but I don't think it was as much of a slam dunk as I thought that it was when I made the pick over the weekend. Rashad looks good. Rashad looks really good. He looks strong. He seemed like he's in a kind of a good headspace, but you know, Glover's won back-to-back fights. He seems like he's kind of got a little bit of that edge back that he had when he was getting the title fight with John Jones. And it does worry me. I know that Rashad fought in October, off of, you know, 23 month or so layoff. He fought in October, so it's not like he's been inactive, but I still think that being out for that long lingers a little bit. And he didn't look outstanding when he came back in October, you know, right? So it makes you wonder if he's a little bit closer to being on the downslope of his career than Teixeira is, and that's kind of why I went with that pick. So
it makes sense.
I think it's a good fight. I like it as a fight. You know, it's a fight night main event. I don't think it should be a Fox main event, but at this point, what are you going to do? You know, I think it's a good fight. It's a good fight that maybe doesn't necessarily say a whole lot for the winner when all has been done. Because I don't think if Glover wins the fight that you can sit there and say, well, he's right back in the mix again for a
right.
title shot.
Right.
I think he still needs another one or two. And if Rashad wins, well, that's great. But, I mean, you know, he's not right there in the mix either. So I don't think it solves a lot of problems in that division, regardless of who wins.
I agree. I don't think we learned much, unfortunately. All right, man. Well, anything else you're looking forward to? You mentioned the co-main. Obviously, I think the featured prelims on both sections are pretty good with Chiesa and Dariush. That's a good card, and then or a fight, I should say. And then Dotson moving up. Anything that you're most excited for?
Well, you know what? I'm interested in seeing what Cubs Watson's able to do. He's you know, he went from the prelims, kind of far down on the card, and with all this other crazy stuff that's gone on, now he finds himself opening up the main card on Fox. You know, it's back-to-back losses for that guy, and he's the guy we were talking about being right there. Like, this guy's, you know, very close to fighting for a title and arguably could have had a title shot. And he really needs to win, and I think this is he's putting in a position against the kind of opponent that is not a walkthrough. It's a tough opponent, but it's one that he can have some success against, I think, and he obviously needs it in a big way. No. So I'm really looking forward to that. And I hate seeing a guy like Cubs Watson who's always going to put on an exciting fight. I hate seeing him kind of buried a little bit down the card, even though he would have been on Big Fox anyways. But I like when a guy like him gets to open up things on the main card. So
yeah. Fox is, and you know, national television. I know we're 19 cards into this, but it's still a big deal to be on network TV as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely.
All right, brother. Well, I'll let you get back to it. I know you're the magnificent one over there hanging out, getting work done in Florida, so thanks for that. Let's go have a frosty beverage. Sorry to interrupt your Pearl Jam concert series to have to put in some work, but thanks for talking to me.
Yeah, I'll be back on the road with him in 12 days in Lexington, so I'll have to survive until then.
Oh, is it at Rupp Arena?
at Rupp Arena, absolutely. I've never been there, and everybody tells me, dude, it's such a dive. It's so terrible. And all I can think about is that's the kind of place that those guys like to play and put on a show that everybody talks about for the next 25 years. So, and I'll tell you this, you'll appreciate this. I know you'll appreciate this. Here's how much I hate driving. So Tampa and Jacksonville are about 220 miles apart. So yesterday I was off. I drove 220 miles up to Jacksonville. I left the show at midnight. I got back to my hotel room at like 4:30 in the morning this morning. I hate driving so much that my house is about 4.5 hours from Lexington. I could just get in the car and drive there. But instead, I'm going to get on an airplane and fly from Chicago to Louisville and then rent a car and drive an hour from Louisville to Lexington. That's how much I hate driving. I'm saving zero time by doing this. I could probably drive there faster than driving to the airport, flying, renting a car, and doing some more driving. But I do not want to drive to Lexington. Forget it.
That is too funny. I'll tell you what, though. I lived in Lexington for a year. It's actually where I met my wife, and I've made that drive between Louisville and Lexington. I'll say this. Like you said, it's only an hour instead of four. You'll actually like that drive. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Sweet. I'm looking forward to it.
All right,
as long as I don't have to do it from Chicago. All right, man. Talk soon.
See you, bro.
See you next week.
So that was Matt Erickson checking in from Tampa, Florida, where UFC on Fox 19 is taking place this week. I will not be there. I'm here in Las Vegas. We'll be in fine hands there with Matt Erickson. The magnificent one, Steven Morocco. A card that has definitely taken its share of hits over the past couple of weeks, but still has a couple of good little matchups on there. So lost a little bit of that big feel vibe, but still some important fights nonetheless. So, listen, since we're down a man with cold coffee, having to deal with some situations right now, figured, you know what, I teased some news about us bringing somebody else to MMA Junkie. I'm really not even sure I'm supposed to be talking about it, but I had to fill in. And the MMA Roadshow faithful, they care. They want to know what's up. So I said, you know what, let me get this person on the phone. Well, I have been teasing this announcement for a little while, and I don't even know if I'm really supposed to make it or not. I think we're supposed to do something official through the channels of MMA Junkie, but to hell with it, because I think I'm the one that made this happen. So, let me welcome aboard officially to the MMA Junkie team, Fernanda Prachis?
Let's close it off. I think you're getting there. We've only known each other for what? 4 years now, so, yeah. I'm thinking in six, you know how to pronounce my last name.
It'll be close. Well, the easiest way to say would be practice, I guess, but you've got to say that Rio de Janeiro way of your last name.
No, it's good, Prachis. You're saying it with a nice Carioca accent, so I forgive you.
Perfect. Well, as we can hear slightly in the background, you are sitting in the airport right now in Sao Paulo. I should say that you were raised in Rio de Janeiro, or spent a lot of your time in Rio de Janeiro. You actually spent some time in Brasilia as well, but you do live in Rio de Janeiro. But right now I caught you on your way to Canada. You've got a vacation coming up.
Yes, I'm actually going to Vancouver right now. Actually, Nanaimo, which is close to Vancouver, a small town. But yeah, I'm going to be there for a few days on vacations, and then I'm going to come back and start working for this amazing media. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's this website. they write about MMA and stuff. And apparently I'm going to start working for them when I get back.
Well, we are happy to have you on board. Let's talk about people that have listened to you on the podcast before. I think they'll definitely know the depth of knowledge that you bring to the table. But just to kind of go through your background a little bit, I mean, most recently you've been working for Combate, which is, of course, the broadcast partner for the UFC in Brazil. And prior to that, you were actually doing public relations work for the UFC. So you worked for another company, but you were basically working directly with the UFC as well. And even prior to that, you were doing public relations for the Nogueira brothers, I believe, as well. So how long exactly have you been in this sport? Because it's been quite some time.
It's been, honestly, I think like 6 or 7 years. Because my first contact with MMA came when I was still in college, and I was interning for a newspaper, and I started doing Muay Thai just to like lose weight, just for the kicks. And then I started getting involved with it, and then there was jiu-jitsu, and I started just like watching the events. And as at first I started writing a blog about it for the website, the newspaper's website, and then I started doing the MMA stories for the newspaper, and then it kind of went from there. I interned in different places, but I still like wrote for websites and whatnot. Then, as you mentioned, I did PR for a small company that did the Nogueira Brothers. Then PR for the UFC for, I think it was 2.5 years. Then Sport TV, obviously, where I did MMA and other combat sports, Combachi for the last year, and now MMA Junkie. So, yeah, it's been 6 or 7 years involved in this beautiful sport that we love.
No doubt. I think what people are going to find real quick, first of all, they're going to find that you're completely bilingual. I probably do need to remind people that this is not your first language. Portuguese, of course, is your first language as a Brazilian, but your English is so fluent. I think people kind of forget about that right away, that this is your second language. And the funny story is, I guess you took some of this in school, but you kind of thank American TV for learning English, right?
Yeah, I mean, not having any friends growing up has its perks. I watched embarrassing amounts of television growing up, and movies and music, and a lot of just like, well, that's the airport person speaking, so you guys can probably hear it. But yeah, it's a lot of my process, a big part of my English learning process was just like watching and reading and just letting it, you know, sink in. And honestly, I feel like that's part of the reason why I don't have much of an accent, because you pick it up from people who actually speak it instead of like Brazilian teachers and whatnot. But that was pretty much it. Seinfeld was my mentor in the English language, which means I have questionable morals, but good English skills. So, you know, it's a fair trade.
Yeah, questionable morals is almost a requirement to work on the MMA Junkie staff, so that's okay.
And frosty beverages.
Frosty beverages are also a requirement as well, and I can tell you that Fernanda is not afraid of a frosty beverage from time to time as well, which also helps her to fit in on the MMA Junkie staff. The other thing is, too, I think you've got a great relationship with the fighters, working behind the scenes, both with PR and then, of course, with Combache as well, which, you know, Combache is obviously the favored partner down there. I mean, you guys were dealing with fighters on a daily basis. So, I mean, really, it's been your job to interact and handle fighters, I mean, pretty much every day in one form or fashion for the past several years. So I don't think I'm out of line in saying that, you know, you're going to have access to pretty much every Brazilian fighter on the roster down there for us at MMA Junkie at some time or another.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while doing this, so I guess I've had some form of, like, contact with, I don't know if I can say all of them, but most of the Brazilian fighters, yes. And as you know, and this is something that obviously we have in common, I'm very interested in hearing what they have to say always. Even when I was just doing PR, when I wasn't reporting anything, or just, you know, to me, these guys usually have very interesting stories, and they have, you know, backgrounds, personalities, and They're complex characters that I've always just had like a natural interest and a natural curiosity to hear about. So now I get to report on it, which is, to me, is pretty great. It seems like a natural, just like this, honestly, the coolest job ever for me right now.
It is pretty much the coolest job ever. I can't lie. Every now and then I complain about being away from home or working long hours, and then I realize what my job is, and I realize I better shut up really quick because there's not much to complain about.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know I'm probably not going to be traveling as much as you, at least, starting off. But, yeah, I mean, honestly, this – and you know that. Like, this is our life. MMA is just something that I just follow and love, and just, it's so, it's such a big part of my personality at this point. It's not a job anymore. It's entertainment. It's just like, it's just part of who I am. And so I'm sure it's just not going to feel like a job, as it hasn't felt like a job for all the years of doing it. Other things have felt like the part of the job, but not the MMA part itself, not the fighter stories, not reporting, not going after, you know, interesting angles and pitching fun characters and stories. So I'm sure it's just, I can't be sure, but I'm pretty, like, 99% sure that it's going to be really, really fun.
I think you are right. Well, the first time we'll get to see you in person working with us, because you're going to get started, I guess we should say, you got a couple of weeks vacation. Somehow this Brazilian work system that you guys have down there, you guys get like a month off, so I'm not sure how that works, but you're going to be gone for a couple of weeks. Then you come back and start with us at the very first part of May, and then right away we'll be down in your neck of the woods in Curitiba for UFC 198. Let's just talk quickly about that card, your excitement level. I mean, I know you've been a part of some big events, but, you know, it's going to be an exciting time for you because it's a new job. But putting that aside, how excited are you just to be in Curitiba, to be in a 40,000-seat stadium that sold out, you know, almost instantly, and just this insane lineup that the UFC has put together?
Well, first of all, it's not Brazil's problem. It's the U.S. problem. Like, you guys have horrible, like, work laws. What is up with that? We get a month every year, and you think that's too much. But apart from that, I'm very, very excited. Not just because of the lineup, which is amazing. I would dare say, like, it's the more star-studded event, like, from beginning to end since the first, not the first UFC in Brazil, but the first UFC under Zuffa.
Sure.
With Anderson Silva and Shogun and Vitor and whatever. So it wasn't, I'm sorry, it wasn't in Vitor in that one. It was Anderson Silva and Yushin Okami. And I was there for that one, UFC 134. In the HSBC Arena. Yes. So I'm very, very excited for this one just because, obviously, the names are amazing, but Curitiba is pretty much the birthplace of MMA in Brazil. It could have been Rio for different reasons, but, you know, as you know, a lot of the guys that ended up becoming the biggest names for a while came from Curitiba or trained in Curitiba or, you know, did some time at Chuchi Box or whatever. So to me, and I have never been to Curitiba, so to me, there's actually that the expectation to just go there and get to know the city and visit the places that were really a part of MMA history and that I have never actually seen in person. So it's not just the fight card to me, it's just the whole situation and fight week and everything is going to be very exciting.
Yeah, I agree. I'm actually pretty excited about that as well. To me, you know, when I think about Curitiba, I think about Shootbox and what a legendary academy that was. I mean, the roster that they had at one time was amazing. So to me, as you said, it's really kind of the birthplace of the sport in Brazil. I mean, certainly Rio and, you know, Vale Tudo and fights on the beaches and all those things. But I think this is pretty fantastic. So I'm definitely looking forward to it and feeling the vibe. I think it's going to be a city where people know about their MMA, and I'm pretty pumped about it. And I got to say, and not just because we've brought a woman reporter on here, but I'm excited to see Cyborg in the UFC cage. You know, I don't know where it's ultimately going to go because, you know, it's a 140-pound fight. They're not going to have a 140-pound division. I'm still not convinced she could ever make 135 pounds. But you know what? I don't care. I'm just pumped to see it. And I got to imagine you are too. And I just kind of want to get your sense. I mean, are Brazilian people excited? I mean, is she a star down there? Does she matter on this card? Because they're putting in her a position on the card like she's a pretty big deal.
She is a big star, as in, the casual fan might not even know who she is, but they've heard of her. That's the thing, because for us, she's the biggest name in women's MMA, which means when we talk about, you know, women fighting in general, she's one of the first names to pop up. Obviously, as you know, Ronda is very big here. But before Ronda, it was Cyborg. Even people who have never seen her fight have kind of heard from her. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that because she was part of, like, there was this novelty of having this amazing, very dominant female fighter that newspapers, TV shows, she did a lot of media, actually, which to me is actually kind of like unprecedented media when it comes to a non-UFC person. I think you understand what I'm saying.
Sure.
Usually, yeah, when you have guys that are not fighting in the UFC, it's a lot harder to get that type of press. And she did. I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that she was a pioneer. So people have read about her. They have heard from her. They have seen interviews with her. And they have heard people who know MMA just talking about her constantly. So I think that even people who have never seen her fight and who don't know what she's capable of, and we know that she's capable of some serious damage, are just curious to see her fight. So I'm very curious. And I don't know. I mean, obviously, Leslie, she was very brave to take that fight, but... yeah, she's going to have a handful. Cyborg is going to... we have to see, like you said, what happens, because her division doesn't exist. And it's a tough spot because there aren't that many girls fighting at a high level in that weight division. But I'm very curious.
We'll talk more about it in a month, of course. But I did want to ask you one more thing. I mean, the fact that they could sell out 40,000 seats... you know, everybody seems to be talking about the Brazilian economic crisis and how the UFC can't keep coming down to Brazil because, you know, of just the financial struggles right now. Then they turn around and sell out a stadium. Now, the event here is insane. I mean, you got Demian Maia on the prelims. You got Anderson Silva opening up the pay-per-view. I mean, you couldn't do a lineup like this. But is this at least a good sign that maybe the Brazilian's MMA scene is okay and the UFC can keep using it as a viable option?
It's really hard to measure because, first of all, they have never been there. So, obviously, for them, for the audience in Curitiba, and obviously in the South in general, it's a big deal. So they will jump on that opportunity. But, and also, like you said, you have Anderson, you have Vitor, and we have talked about this before in the past. Like, there's no way to measure how important it is to have these guys. Like, they are the people who drive Brazilian fans to watch fights. So there's also that. But I do think that if you put on good cards, if you have at least two big Brazilian names, you're going to have a good turnout in every city. You can't just, but that's the thing, like you can't put on whatever card and just expect the Brazilian fans to show up because Brazilians like MMA. No, we're past that. We're past that excitement, but I think we can recognize a good card when we see one. So if the UFC keeps up like the level, it doesn't, obviously they're not going to be able to keep up with the level of this particular card because it's so insane. But honestly, if you throw in like a good main and a good co-main, and I think we're going to have, might not sell out as quickly as it did with this one, but I think they're probably going to still have solid turnouts.
Awesome. Well, Fernanda, I know you're about to get on a plane for Toronto first and then Vancouver, and have yourself a nice couple of weeks vacation up there in Canada, but I guess I just wanted to break the news, whether we were supposed to or not. I think the ink is dry on your contracts. I don't think either one of us can get in too much trouble.
Well, if we do, it was worth it. It was so much fun. I always love chatting with you, and I love this podcast, as you know. When I'm not in it, I'm listening to it. So, and I know I've had some good feedback on your iTunes reviews from what I have from what I have gathered. So it's nice to be able to talk directly to my two or three fans, including my mom.
Well, I understand you've gotten some pretty good reviews on social media as well. Some of them maybe a little less wanted than others.
Yeah, let's not go there right now. Yeah. Well, you know, for these people, if you want to make creepy comments, just, you know, keep them to yourselves. But, you know, they're fans, so I can't even respond to that right now without getting legal trouble. But yeah.
Fantastic. All right. Well,
I'm blushing right now. I'm just like all sorts of like red and pink right now. Just thinking about some comments, but yeah.
Well, that was definitely my intention, so.
Thank you very much. It made me very uncomfortable, John, so you have succeeded.
Fantastic. Well, hey, listen, I'm excited to have you on. I always said that we'd love to have you as part of the team when we had a chance to have somebody in Brazil, and that opportunity finally opened up, and now we've got you on the team, and I'm pumped. I'm excited for your first day of work, and I'm excited to get down to USC 198. The young Mike Bond will be down there with us as well. Cold Coffee is making the trip also, and I have a feeling the MMA Junkie is going to kick ass in Curitiba.
Me too, and this is going to be – that's actually going to be the most epic podcast ever. Can you imagine all of us in one single podcast? It's going to be the podcast to end all podcasts.
It's going to be incredible. All right, well, I'll let you finish up your frosty beverage I know you're having right now. Go jump on a plane, and we will talk to you very soon.
Awesome. Thank you very much, and looking forward to working with you guys.
So there you have it, the newest member of the MMA Junkie team. We finally got somebody based down in Brazil, Fernanda Prates. It's P-R-A-T-E-S. That's how you spell it. P-R-A-T-E-S. Prates. But you got to put that little Rio de Janeiro twist on it there, and that's where I get screwed up. But you can follow her on Twitter at Nanda, N-A-N-D-A, Prates, P-R-A-T-E-S, underscore. She does post a lot in Portuguese, of course. That's her native language, but you can still follow her there. And I'm sure once she's an official part of the MMA Junkie team, she'll be posting a little bit more in English as well. She is on Instagram as well. Nanda Prates. N-A-N-D-A, P-R-A-T-E-S. Okay? Just from now on, it's Fernanda, okay? We're on a first-name basis. Fernanda. Can't say the damn last name. All right, the other big news. New York. It's happening. We knew it was going to happen. The vote's done, but there was the one last little bit of business that had to be done. Governor Cuomo had to sign it into legislation. That was done on April 14th. That is today as we sit down and record it. Yesterday, once this bad boy comes out. And the big news, of course, November 12th will be the first pay-per-view at Madison Square Garden. It marks the 23-year anniversary of UFC 1. Pretty cool. Took him a long time to get to Madison Square Garden, but 23 years after the organization was born, they will be in Madison Square Garden, the most famous arena in the world. Listen, this card is going to be stacked. So if you're thinking about it, I know that's a tough time. The holidays coming up and all that. Probably a little bit of a chill in the air already at that time. But if you're thinking about, you know, planning a New York vacation, I just don't see why you wouldn't do it around here if you're a big UFC fan. Tickets are going to sell fast, so you better be on that. But you just know they're going to stack this card. And I get it. Injuries happen. And, man, when you're investing your own money and it's your guy that you want to see or your girl that you want to see and she gets injured or he gets injured and the lineup gets switched up, that kind of sucks. It really does. But I think this is going to be one of those cards that's more an event, like a UFC 100, like a UFC 200, where it's more about the event that's surrounding it. The Fertitta brothers, Dana White, you know, they grew up as huge boxing fans, and so to them, Madison Square Garden is Mecca, and they've wanted to get this thing done forever. And with it now finally done, they're going to stack the card. You can believe that. You know, it looks like Ronda Rousey, Holly Holm makes sense. It looks like the timing works out. We've talked about a November return for Ronda Rousey for some time, so that makes a lot of sense on the card. John Jones has said he wants to be on that card, so we'll see what happens with him and Daniel Cormier. Maybe that would be the place to rebook it, assuming, of course, that John Jones is able to get through Event St. Pruitt, UFC 197. Chris Weidman has said that he'd like to be on the card. Chris Weidman spent a lot of time up there in New York campaigning for this, you know, kind of making all the visits and doing all the rounds and really put in his free time to get this thing done. Got to think they'll put him on. And I think even if he's the champ again, even if he's able to beat Luke Rockhold, and you could put John Jones, and you could put champ Luke Rockhold on there, and you could put Ronda Rousey versus Holly. I mean, I'm telling you, I think they're going to do that kind of a card for this event. They want this thing to be stacked. So all I'm saying is, obviously if you're a New Yorker, you're in there. You know you're buying tickets, but if you've ever been thinking about a little New York vacation, you want to tie some MMA into it, I just got a feeling they're going to make this thing a fun week. So now here's the interesting part. Bellator is already saying they want to come in and they want to do Barclays Center. Can't blame Bellator for wanting to do that. It's a business move. Who doesn't want to jump in there and be the first pro show? Now, technically, there's 120 days from now that have to pass, and that gives the Athletic Commission time to get set up. I just don't think there's any way in hell the Athletic Commission in New York gives Bellator the first professional show. And I don't mean that as any insult to Bellator. But Bellator didn't pave the way to get this done. They haven't been doing years and years and years of lobbying and campaigning and working and education. They just haven't. The UFC did it, and there's nobody in the New York scene that won't tell you that the UFC had everything to do with getting this done. And I think as such, they deserve the first professional show. Now, moving forward, yeah, Bellator, go do your thing. World Series of Fighting, do your thing. Anybody else that wants to get in there, it's not going to be cheap. Remember, there's that high tax rate. It's going to be tough. It's going to be expensive. But it is the media capital of the world. It is New York. It's an incredible city. It's an incredible state. Of course, people are going to do it. But I don't think Bellator should get the first show. Now, here's the games that can be played. And we'll see how it all works out. It'll be fun. It'll be a fun little political game to follow. Now, the UFC has already said they're going to do another event in upstate New York sometime this year. Now, my assumption was they'll do it ASAP, right? They'll do it as soon as this 120-day setup period is done. That way they make sure that this upstate event is the first event in New York, and then Bellator can do their Barclays Center event, and they'll be the second, so they won't get that, and of course they won't be the first at Madison Square Garden. Madison Square Garden, no way, is going to take Bellator, which is why Bellator's staying in the Barclays Center. Just quick side note, the event UFC 199 going to L.A., actually doing Inglewood this time in the Forum instead of Staples Center, which I believe we've mentioned before, but something I learned is that that the Forum is part of the Madison Square Garden group. So that's why they decided to do that. You know how it goes. Got a little scratch from back here, scratch yours. You know how that all works. You got to play the game. So no way Bellator is getting into Madison Square Garden, but they could get into the Barclays Center. Barclays Center doesn't care. But the UFC can either circumvent that by booking their own event in upstate New York, or the other thing is the Athletic Commission can slow play, and they can say, well, yeah, we need 120 days by law, but actually what we need is about until, say, November 11th, because we've got to get our judges hired and trained. We've got to get our referees hired and trained. We've got to get all of our statutes in place, everything passed, all of which would be true, but it would kind of be bullshit as well. But I think the commission that's going to be there, of course they want to work with the UFC. The UFC is going to be coming there, it says, 4 times a year for the first 3 years. That's incredible. They're going to make a huge financial impact, and the Athletic Commission knows that. And I think they're going to play ball with them. Plus, I just think everybody knows that's involved in mixed martial arts. The UFC is the one that paved the way. And sorry, Bellator, I got love for you, but the right thing to do here is for the UFC to get that first event. Now, you know, MMA Junkie, we had cameras up there in New York today when this was all getting done. So I'm going to play you a little clip, some of the highlights, just in case you didn't see this. It's just a couple of minutes. But some of the featured characters that you're going to see. Lorenzo Fertitta, happy to get up there and make some announcements. Ronda Rousey, former UFC Women's Bantamweight Champion. Gotta think she's fighting on this card. Governor Andrew Cuomo talks about what he thinks this is good for the UFC. And former UFC middleweight champ Chris Weidman, a native New Yorker, also speaks about the wonderful news of the UFC finally getting to New York. UFC President Dana White always said it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. That when is November 12th.
I would like to announce that with the approval of the New York State Athletic Commission, we will be hosting our first event here at Madison Square Garden on November 12th. In addition to that, we will also be holding an event in upstate New York before the end of the year. We don't have the exact particulars on the date or actually which market or venue that will be in, but those details will be coming within the next couple weeks as we solidify the calendar for the balance of the year.
I just want to say thank you to everybody who really made this dream come true for me and all the other MMA athletes who always just wanted an opportunity to be able to do what we love in, I think, the pinnacle of professional sports here in the Madison Square Garden, and not just here, but the state of New York. And we really have to thank the legislature and Governor Cuomo. Really, thank you so much for all the support and really giving me faith in the system again.
Speaking as a prideful New Yorker with a tad of New York arrogance, I think this really completes the journey for MMA, because coming to New York means you're coming to the place. Madison Square Garden is the icon, international icon, for great sports events. From an economic point of view, it's very good. The sport has had exponential growth and success. New York was the one state that hadn't licensed it, but now we have. So I think that while we're a little late to the game, you're going to see New York make up quickly, because this is New York, this is Madison Square Garden, and I think although there was a delay, we're going to be back in the game, so to speak, very quickly.
I grew up right on the Long Island Railroad, right in Baldwin. I lived alongside the railroad, so I'd always jump on the train and find my way into the city, jumping from bathroom to bathroom so I didn't have to pay for a ticket. But just to imagine that all the people from Long Island could just jump on that Long Island Railroad and take it into Penn Station, walk upstairs to Madison Square Garden to watch me fight, is just beyond surreal feeling to think about. So it's going to be a dream come true. The place is going to be absolutely crazy. The first MMA card, first UFC event in New York at Madison Square Garden is going to blow everything else out of the water, I think.
So New York finally happening, November 12th. And then we can quit talking about legalization in the States. There's still going to be some other markets that need to be handled. We came from Australia not that long ago, where they still got Western Australia. We came from Europe. They still got France as a big target. A couple little places left to get handled. But New York is done. The United States is done. We don't have to talk about this damn thing anymore. Now, we mentioned Bellator a little bit earlier. Speaking of Bellator, again, the MMA junkie resources just all over the globe, son. Bellator 152, Pitbull versus Souza. Is Kevin Souza? Yeah, right? I like watching the guy fight, but I want Souza. And then we started learning that Jacare is not Souza, it's Souza. Gonna have to get Fernanda in for a ruling. All right, well, that card is happening in Turin, Italy. And to be honest, myself and Cole Coffee wanted to go to the show, but we just couldn't get the dollar figures to work out. And maybe it was fortuitous. As we said, Cole Coffee did get a little bit of bad news, and maybe he was supposed to be here for that. So since we couldn't go, we turned to Team Europe to handle business. Now, they don't normally cover Bellator shows, but that's because Bellator hasn't had a big presence in Europe, but that is changing. This, of course, is the kickoff of that presence, as Bellator 152 is taking place in Italy, starting out what Bellator hopes is going to be several events in the future. Of course, they've got a big London event later this year, and you know our crew, Abby Subban, and Shamak Karsandu are going to be handling business in London as well. In fact, there's a big press conference next week they're going to be at also. But right now, Abby is in Turin, Italy. We asked him to step his game up a little bit. You know, Abby's usually just a shooter and an editor behind the scenes, but as you know, in this game, you got to do a little bit of everything. Got to do a little bit of everything. You know, I started out as a writer, and now I got to shoot pictures. I suck at it, but I shoot pictures. All those weigh-in pictures, all those press conference photos, I'm terrible at it, but I do it. Video, I've been learning video over the last couple of years, how to edit. Still suck at it, but I can do it. and that's kind of what Abby's going through right now, man. He's learning everything. He was nervous, so much so that I asked for everybody to give him a little bit of love on Facebook. But from all accounts, he is doing a fantastic job out there in Turin, Italy. Now, Bellator's got a tough gig here, man. They're going on Saturday. They're basically going to head up against the UFC on Fox. Whew. Not a good thing. Not a good thing for them. That's tough. But maybe you'll be able to flip back and forth in the channels a little bit, because I'm not going to lie, pacing sucks on Fox and Fox Sports 1, man. It does. I'm not going to be super negative. You know I'm not that guy. But, man, we got to figure out a way to get more than two fights an hour, UFC. Got to get more than two fights an hour. Give me that fight pass pacing. So, at the very least, if you're a hardcore MMA fan, you can DVR this card and go back and watch it. Or, if you're depending on how things go, you might be able to flip back and forth a little bit and see how it plays out. We will have live coverage. Of course, there's kickboxing there as well. We're not really covering the kickboxing. And just to address that, Bellator kickboxing is a thing now, and this is going to be the first one. And, you know, internally, we've had this conversation multiple times over the years. You know, what do we cover? What do we not cover? And it's always come back to, listen, this is MMA Junkie, and we're going to cover MMA. We're not going to cover, you know, if we cover kickboxing, well, it's Bellator kickboxing. Okay, well, then what if they do Bellator boxing and Bellator jiu-jitsu and Bellator taekwondo and Bellator judo? I mean, where do we draw the line? Trust me, I would love to be able to cover it all. Man, if we could just cover everything and have every single sport discipline covered, Muay Thai, boxing, judo, jiu-jitsu, karate tournaments, wrestling, I would love to. But the truth is, we don't have the resources to do it. And I think you guys know how much we love to cover the sport and how deep we cover the sport. You know, it's not just a cursory little look at the top of it. We like to cover it all. And we just don't feel like we're able to do that. So you're not going to see a lot of Bellator kickboxing coverage. We'll probably show the results, especially when it involves an MMA fighter. We might tweet about it. We might see a little social media. But you're just not going to see a lot of coverage, and that's unfortunately just a sacrifice we have to make sometime. We never really covered Gloria before. Even now that it's on UFC Fight Pass, we don't do that. You know, Eddie Bravo Invitational, we can't really cover that. So the bottom line is we just got to draw the line somewhere, so we're going to remain true to our MMA roots. So the conversation you're going to hear is going to be mostly about MMA, of course, and the coverage you're going to see this weekend about Bellator is going to be mostly about MMA. So listen, I had to surprise my man. He was up late at night in Italy. Pear, of course, is with him, our photographer that's based in Europe, who was with us this past weekend. He's a Swedish guy. He's kind of quiet. He doesn't talk a lot. He basically just eats and sleeps and shoots photos, and he's really good at it. Now, he's a photographer. He can shoot. Go back and look at some of those pictures from Croatia, man. He's got some fantastic ones. Or follow him on Twitter at MMA Junkie Pear, P-E-R. Dude's got some fantastic photos. But he was asleep already. He's just, that's what he does. So while he was asleep, my man Abby Subban was still on the grind, and I checked in with him from Italy, because that's what we're doing. Even with my man Cold Coffee on the sidelines, we're checking in with our resources all over the planet. That's what we do on the MMA Roadshow. Even when we're in Vegas, we got people for you everywhere. Checking in with my main man, Abby Subban, who is in Turin, Italy, or Torino, Italy, depending on how you're going with it. We have elected to go with Turin. But Abby, I sent some love out to you on Facebook. You're stepping up the game. You're usually just the man behind the camera. Now you're the man behind the camera, in front of the camera, handling the interviews. How are you feeling so far, brother?
It was tough, but, you know, trying to take it to that next level. MMA Junkie asked me to, step up my game, and I answered the call, man.
That's what's up.
Just try my best.
Listen, you—it's been a long day for you already. I know, man. You had to get up and fly from London this morning. You flew to Turin. As soon as you got there, there was a press conference, and then we had you set up for about 10 interviews, back to back to back. So I know it's been a long, grinding day for you. But what's the feeling like there, man? I'll be honest. I've been to Italy before, but I've never been to Turin. I know it's not like you've had a chance to walk out and see a whole lot. But what's your first initial kind of take of the place?
It's beautiful, beautiful. That's all I could say. I mean, the view from my room. I mean, you can just see mountains and like, you know, the architecture is just you can tell it's old. it's really beautiful. I mean, the weather's perfect at the moment, so we're just walking around in t-shirts and shorts. It's a change from London. I mean, I heard the weather in London's changing up, but it's really nice out here. We went out for dinner earlier, so we walked around the city. It's really nice, man. Really nice.
Well, I'm jealous, man. I had a good time in Croatia, and I wanted to do Turin as well, and we couldn't get the travel figured out. So I'm a little bit jealous that you're the one that's there, since I'm not in Florida. I'm just kind of hanging out at home this week, but I'm glad you're handling it, man. So you mentioned it. You know, we kind of asked you to step up. Your partner in crime, Chamath Karsandu, he had some other plans this week and couldn't make it out there. I was saying on Facebook, you know, I felt confident in you, man. I knew that you could handle business, but the first time you take on a new role, I know it's kind of kind of nerve-wracking. So what was the feel like today, man? Was it nerve-wracking as you started out? Did you handle it as it went on? Was it how'd it go for you?
John, you know me, man. I don't even like when you say you're going to be on the podcast, you know what I'm like. so you can imagine, you know, I've been like thinking about it all week. What am I going to do? What am I going to say? But, you know, managed to put some questions together. Sandu brainstormed some questions together with me. And then you were there as well to help me out with some questions. But, I mean, the first interview, who did I have first? It was Kevin Souza. And he doesn't speak English, so he had a translator there. So it was all about passing the mics around and stuff like that. And then we had to change the shot because it looked awkward. And it was probably down to me and my line of questioning. But as we went on with the interviews, you know, it just started flowing. Even I got the nod from Danny saying, hey, you're lying. This isn't your first time. So it was nice.
Yeah, you're talking about Danny Brunner, of course. Danny Brunner is PR guy at Bellator. He's been around the game for a long time, man. He actually goes way back to the UFC days.
Elite
XC, Strikeforce. The dude has been around. And I think what, you know, I know you're starting to work with Bellator a little bit more, especially as they're making it to Europe. I know that there's a press conference on Monday that I think you guys are going to go to in London. Of course, they're going to have that big event later this year. You guys have been working with the Bellator staff to put together the MVP documentary. But, you know, Bellator, I think, definitely runs on a tighter budget than what the UFC does. They've got a much smaller team. They have to run a little bit leaner. But Danny's a great guy to work with. I hope that you've been experiencing that so far.
Danny is awesome. He's had my back. I mean, like, even I turned up at the press conference. I jumped in a cab. I shouldn't have jumped in a cab. Well, according to Per, he jumped on a bus from the airport, and that was hard, he said. I think I made the right call jumping in a cab. I turned up at the press conference, and guess who was there to greet me?
Who's that?
Hoyce Gracie. Hoyce Gracie was there waiting for me, and I was like, what? He was the first one. He just happened to be there, like the first guy there, and I just found myself, you know, just you know, shooting the breeze with the legend.
That's crazy. It's easy to get starstruck around Hoyce, man. You know, people ask sometimes, do you get starstruck? I don't. I mean, we cover this thing on a daily basis, but dude, Hoyce is still Hoyce, man. That guy's a legend.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the first thing I ever saw UFC related was Hoyce Gracie. So it was strange. It was kind of surreal. I'm in Italy and I'm talking to Hoyce Gracie. But so yeah, I mean, the press conference, it was kind of an awkward setup, man. It was kind of, you'll see the videos. You've seen the video. I sent you a video. It was kind of strange, where we had like Scott Coker and the other guys, you know, I can't remember his name, the Italian dude that, oh God. All right, you're going to have to edit that out.
we don't edit anything.
Everyone else, they had all the fighters sitting behind
it was
behind me.
Carlo De Blasi, the Octagon kickboxing president.
Mr. De Blasi, yes. So yeah, I was, he was running the press conference. Scott Coker was sitting next to him. There was Corey Schaefer and Hoyce Gracie. And all the fighters that were, you know, the main focus of the actual card were sitting behind. So as they spoke and they mentioned their names, they would stand up. But I couldn't film them because I was filming the press conference in front of me. So it was a bit of an awkward setup. But, you know, they promised that they'd set it up. Like they had less control than they normally would, and they said that they'll make up for it in London. So we'll see Monday.
That's awesome. Well, you did get a chance to talk to most everybody in the card. I know that as you and I were kind of reviewing the notes. I'm kind of hyped that Kevin Souza stepped in. I think he's a fun fighter. I know you were watching some tape on him. He's coming in on short notice, so who knows what he's going to be able to do. But I think the main event here with Patrycki Ferry is a good one. I think their styles are good. And, of course, Brian Rogers and Alessio Sakara, I think that could be a lot of fun. And as I told you, I'm super high on AJ McKee as a prospect. I think this guy's got all the talent in the world. So, you know, out of talking to everybody today, you know, is there a fight that you're most looking forward to, or just a performance that you're most looking forward to?
You nailed it right there. AJ McKee, he's the next thing. He's the next big thing. I'll say right now, I'm excited about this guy. And he's got this natural swagger about him, very confident. And he knows what he wants to do. You know, he plans to fight 4 times this year. That's what he said. He says he's been doing that. Bellator's shown confidence in him. I asked him a question. I think it was your question, come to think of it. It was like, he signed a multi-fight deal with, a multi-year deal with Bellator. And he's going up against a local guy. Is Bellator, showcasing him, or are they just putting him up against a local boy? And is it the local boy's time to shine, and he says that he feels like he's the underdog in this fight, where he has to win over the crowd, but he's sure he's gonna do it. Confident.
That's interesting. I like it. He does. It's swagger, but it's not like overconfidence, it's fun to watch.
What I like to the fight you told me to watch, where he pulled out a suplex, I was, for 1 second I was like, what? Are we watching WWE here? And I asked him about it. He said he's going to try and pull one off this weekend.
Ah, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. Well, it is going to be an interesting card. We're not going to get to see it all live. You're going to be watching the kickboxing as well. It's kind of weird, man. I don't know why, but kickboxing doesn't always excite me the way MMA does. I don't know. It hasn't caught on in America necessarily the way that it has in other countries. But I will say that I'm looking forward to watching Melvin Manhoff fight. That dude is that dude's a beast.
The guy's intense. First time I've met him, but he's intense. He's just got this look about him, but he's really, really friendly. Like off camera, he's just, but when the camera goes on, he just goes all serious. I'm looking forward to Melvin Manhoff. Another person, someone that stood out to me today, John, I'm pretty sure she stood out to everyone, is Anastasia Yankova.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm looks aside, she's super friendly. She's ready. I don't know. She's got 2 fights under her belt, right?
Right.
And she's fighting Angela Pink. Angela Pink, she seems ready. She's very serious, very relaxed, very relaxed. You'll see the interviews. Check them out on Junkie. They'll be up soon, as soon as I get done editing.
Awesome. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to it, man. I'm glad you can make the trip over there. I'm glad you could step up and kind of handle things on your own. Of course, our man Pear is over there as well. But Pear is usually either hungry or sleepy, is what we figured out.
He's going to bed.
When he's not working, he's either eating or sleeping, and so it sounds like he's napping out right now. I did want to ask you one more thing, though. You talked about guys that are up and coming. Give us the update on MVP 24/7. I know you guys got another episode coming out soon.
Yeah, the episode should be ready to go. We're going to send it to Bellator. We're going to send it to Bellator to check out. I mean, it's because Mike's fighting next week, right?
Yeah.
So we're definitely trying to drop it before it comes out. It's ready. It's in the can. So yeah, as soon as we get the okay, it should go live. Check that out on Junkie.
I was gonna say that one's been a little bit of work for you. I know behind the scenes there's some stories we might be able to tell someday, but I know you guys are still high on Michael Venom Page.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Okay, yeah. Even you saw the story on Junkie. He's not happy with the way his career is going at the moment. But he's looking to step up, and hopefully we'll get an answer on the London card. We'll see Monday. We'll see Monday.
No doubt. I definitely hope he makes that London card. This will be a big scene for him, because I think that fight will get a lot of views, man. Benson Henderson, of course, is in the headlining fight. That's actually next week, Bellator 153. So, all right, man. Well, listen, I don't want to keep you too long. I know you got to get back to work. I know you got some editing to grind out. I got something to do on my end, too, to help put some finishing touches on it. We're all working together as a team across the globe. We actually announced earlier, Abby, that Fernanda Prachis is on the team now as well. So we got things going on in Brazil, in England, in Italy, everywhere, man. This Junkie team's going crazy.
Oh, nice. Fernanda's just made the team, yeah? She finally made the cut, yeah?
She finally, man, after years and years of filling out applications and just begging us, I finally allowed it.
Okay, that's good. All right. No comment, man. I'm happy. That's awesome. That is awesome. That's good news.
No doubt.
Yeah, man. What was going to say? Yeah, everybody, watch the comeback.
That's what's up. My man put it on that daily grind. All right, Abby, I'll let you get back to it, man. Enjoy the fights, and we'll stay in touch after the fights.
All right, brother.
See you, bro. All right, well, I think that's about it. That's us checking in from all around the globe. We got people in Italy. We got people in Brazil. We got people in Florida. MMA Junkie just working hard to bring you what we can. Big weekend of mixed martial arts fights, man. I remember when we used to long for fights. And this weekend, you got ONE Championship 41, RFA 37, UFC on Fox 19, and Bellator 152. So if you're an MMA fan, there is no better time to be alive. So, listen, my man Cole Coffee, give him some love. I haven't even told you all to do. You know by now, but do it for me. Just, you know, subscribe to us on iTunes, rate us, review us. That helps me out a lot and helps us kind of build towards the future with this podcast. And, of course, you can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all those good places. You know what to do. Anyway, I'm distracted. My man's down for the count tonight, so wishing him all the good hope and feelings in the world. And as for you guys, thanks for listening.
Hello,
Abby.
Yo,
what's going on, man?
Same shit, different day.
No, that's not true.
Nah, I'm dealing with some edits at the moment. I'm just in the middle of trying to sync audio. We had some issues today, but it's all looking good. I'm just trying to put together the main interviews before I start the mashups. But I'm thinking Anastasia Yankova, she needs subtitles because she's got a pretty voice. I don't want to put her translator, who sounds like a guy that smokes cigars every day.
You did good, Fernanda. Very good.
Yeah, that was okay. Oh, I got flustered.
You did perfect. It's good that you had no notice to think about it.
Yeah, that was awesome. Thank you very much. And I got super embarrassed about the creepy commenters. I don't want to lose my fan base, even if it's made out of creepy commenters. For now, I mean, when I'm super famous, we'll see. But maybe I have to get restraining orders against them at some point. But right now, they're just harmless.
All right, that was good, man. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's because I've got a couple of beers in me, man.
That's why do you think we do beers when we do it?
That's it, brother.
Yeah.